I want to talk to you today. I want to talk to you about being the one who honors. So it's funny because, you know, I get up and people, you know, give me a little woohoo, you know, and thank you. That doesn't hurt me at all. That's helpful. But really, we do that in our church not because we want to make the pastor feel like he's got a big head or anything, but we do it because we believe the scripture that says if you honor a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. If you honor a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, you receive a righteous man reward. So we try to honor everybody in this place, and everybody who comes to share or does anything, we always try to give them kind of a woohoo, and that's just a good thing. So I do want to talk about honor today, but first, a 7-year-old boy was at the center of a Cuyahoga County courtroom drama here in Ohio. He challenged a court ruling over who should have custody of him. Did you hear about this? Yeah. The boy had a history of being beaten by his parents, so when the judge awarded custody to his aunt, the boy surprised the court by saying, "Your Honor, I object." First, the judge was surprised that he would say, "Your Honor," and then he knew to object. Then he proclaimed that his aunt had been known to beat him just as much, if not more, than his own mother. And he adamantly refused to live with her. So when the judge suggested that he live with his grandparents, the young boy stood up again and said, "Your Honor, I object." And he found out that they also beat him. And really, he looked into the family, which is traditional. You look into the family to find someone who would take the minor child, and everybody in the family was known to be, well, domestic violence just kind of ran with them. So the judge finally looked at the boy, and he said, "Son, who do you want to stay with?" He says, "Your Honor, how about the Cleveland Browns? They don't beat anybody." Wow. You're going to use that? Yeah, that's good. Actually, it's not true anymore. The Browns are having a better year, kind of. Yeah. What's that?
It is now. Reality
setting in again. Yeah, they're off of that.
Didn't they tie the Steelers?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now the Steeler fan back there is... I noted in that joke that he called the judge "Your Honor." You probably in your time run into a few "Your Honors" that didn't seem all that honorable. Have you ever had that experience? Yeah, it happens. Yeah, says a man who practiced law for many years. Oh yeah. But honor's still a big deal, and it's something that seems to be lacking pretty dramatically in our culture. Especially in an election year. Did you all notice that? Before I get too far into the honor thing, though, I do want to take just a moment, and I just want to ask, do we have any veterans in the house? If so, would you please stand, all the veterans? Because we don't only talk about honor, but we practice honor. Yeah, come on, give them a hand. Thank you. I don't know how many of you saw what and what you experienced. I think the biggest enemy my dad ran into in Alaska was a moose. Actually, what did you say? There was like 3 moose. You came up on them and they were in the road. And yeah, turned his Jeep around and started going another direction because I saw a video of a... Yeah, they were. You see, he was like, "I don't want to get them mad at me because they can flip a Jeep." I saw a video on Facebook the other day of a great big moose just walking down the middle of a median, you know, and cars were just kind of driving by it. Man, those are big animals. Big animals. I don't know. Do they taste good? Oh, yeah. You've had moose? Okay. I'll take your word for it. So we've just come through this season of a lot of in my mind, some dishonorable ads and dishonorable statements and things being said. And I don't really think that either political party is better or worse in some ways than the other sometimes when it comes to this stuff. Some of them are more subtle and some of them are find a different way to do it. But there's enough dishonor to go around, I think. So I think it's good for me to just bring us back to it, especially on this Veterans Day when we do want to say thank you to all of our vets and honor should be on our mind. I think it's a good day for us to think about that whole honor thing again so we can be reminded about who we are and how we live, or at least how we should live. I don't know about you, but every once in a while I get drawn into that stuff. It's really easy to do. You have to be careful. 1 Peter chapter 2, if you want to turn, I'm going to read a few verses from there. And we're gonna kind of, again, just remind ourselves, be refreshed on this honor thing. Before I do that, though, John, how's your back feeling right now? Is it hurting right now? Pretty bad? Always does? Okay. Everybody point your hands out at John. If he's going to be in this service, he might as well feel better. Holy Spirit, come. Pain go. In Jesus' name. We just ask you, Lord. We'll pray for it more later if we have to, but right now, in Jesus' name, I want that pain to go away. I want you to sit comfortable. Father, just let that pain just begin to subside and let him find himself just sitting in comfort. Let that pain just slip away, slip away, slip away in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll ask you more later how you're doing. How many got to 1 Peter chapter 2? Let's start there with verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. If we read in the King James right there, it would say his own peculiar people. Look at the neighbor and say, you are a King James peculiar person right there. You fit that. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. That's who we are. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people. Let me read that one again. Honor all people. Third time. Honor all people. Let's just say that together. Honor all people. Okay. If you don't get anything else today, just get that. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Just as a reminder, who was king when Peter wrote these words? Does anybody know? Nero. And you've heard me talk about Nero. The guy who took Christians and hung them from poles in his garden and lit them on fire to light his parties. And you can go on and on and on and on and on with Nero. He makes every evil person you've ever seen in your lifetime look like Captain Kangaroo. He was a bad dude. And yet, Peter wrote, honor the king. Oh, and who is the king who ordered Peter's death? Nero. By By the way, while we're in that area, how many of you know we don't have kings? We have a president. We have governors. What could a king do that presidents can't? Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, kings could just decide that somebody in their court looked at him the wrong way, and they could say, off with his head. And it would happen. You need healed. Anyway, I feel that way sometimes, though. So if we are told to honor kings, does that mean we have the privilege of dishonoring presidents or governors? Yeah, I don't think so. Just a thought. We are a royal priesthood, and so we're called to act like it, acting with honor, especially toward those who are outside the faith. The word Gentiles was used here, but what that's referring to is people who are outside the faith. So there are people who don't know why we do what we do. I've had people say to me, why do you support that president? They don't realize that question has been asked of me for my entire Christian life. And there's been more than one that I supported. And there's been a lot more than one that I didn't agree with. And I've honored them all. Makes me laugh, by the way. Some people are just lacking an understanding of how things work. Have you ever heard anybody say, not my president, about some president? Okay. Try that with a police officer when you get pulled over sometime. Walks up to the window and you let him, you're not my police officer. That is not going to keep you from getting a ticket, stupid. So stop it already. People are in authority, and they're in authority because they've been put in authority, and they're your authority whether you like it or not. The behavior of others will not determine my level of behavior. That's an important deal for me. The lack of honor of others does not give me a right to lack in my honoring. And the lack of worthiness of honor doesn't change the fact that I behave as an honoring person in all things. So all people I can behave honoring toward, even when they don't deserve it. I will be who I am no matter what others do. And I am a person of honor. And you, all of us, we are people of honor. We're called to be people of honor. It's not based on whether people deserve it or not. It's based on who God created us to be. That's why you are peculiar. Because most people only honor those that they like them and they agree with them. And they will honor them as long as they feel like they're agreeing. And the second that somebody disagrees, they start to dishonor them. Remember, Jesus said that our behavior toward the least of these would be counted as our behavior toward him. Matthew 25. Preached a little bit on that a while back. Now, a couple of years ago, some of you will recognize the name of a guy named Danny Silk. He wrote a book called The Culture of Honor. I've read that book a number of times, physically read it, but I've also listened to the entire book at least four times, and I've also listened to the entire series that he teaches four times, just because I was so impacted by this idea of honor, and I always have been. And so I found that it was a great thing to listen to while I was mowing. So I bought it on, you know, audio, and I listened to it. And one summer, I mowed a lot. It rained a lot. I mowed a lot. So I listened to it a lot. And he was doing an interview with Bill Johnson, who he's been connected to for 30 plus years, and he just happened to, you know, it's a live interview that he recorded to help communicate this new curriculum that he created called the Foundations of Honor. And so he asked Bill, he says, how would you define honor? And Bill, like he always does, just comes up with stuff. Now, I'm not saying everything that Bill comes up with is perfect, but he came up with this statement, and here's what the statement was. Bill said, honor, that's where I treat you like I would treat Jesus. And I went, wow. To which Danny Silk replied, we've been together for 30 years, and that was the first time you've ever said that. And he said, now I feel like I wrote a whole book and it was just a waste of time because that covers it all. Think about that. Honor is where I treat someone else like I would treat Jesus. That pretty much covers it. If I can do that, I got the honor thing down. Problem is, how many of you have not always treated Jesus even that good? Yeah, come on. That's us. I love Jesus, but I have taken advantage of him a lot. And I probably will continue to need to take advantage of him, of his love and his mercy and his grace and his patience and everything else. Imagine, though, treating everybody like we would treat Jesus. I know they don't deserve it, but we don't do it because of them. We do it because of him, and we do it because of us. Because if I start honoring people, honor all people, as we repeated a little bit ago, if I start showing honor, then I'm treating them as I would Jesus, then Jesus sees that, and then that gets me in a place where I learn to be who he called me to be. As we treat people with honor, we create a momentum that people get caught up in. And that momentum that people get caught up in, this section of scripture says, will silence the foolishness of ignorant men so that by your good works, which they observe, they will glorify God. Isn't that amazing? If I act out of honor and live out of honor, I create a thing that eventually brings the foolishness, the wicked things that are being said, brings it to silence, and I create a momentum that will cause people to glorify God. Do I believe that? I'm not sure I always do. Most of the time, somebody dishonors me, and I just want to get them back. And sometimes I feel like if I don't get them back, if I don't act the way if I don't deal fire with fire, this isn't going to work. There's another biblical text I want to read to you today. I want you to look at. It's from Daniel chapter 4. If you want to turn there, you can. In Daniel chapter 4, a man named Nebuchadnezzar, a great king, has a dream. And he shares the dream with Daniel. Now, this was a second dream. There had been another dream where they had to figure out the dream. The king wouldn't tell him what the dream was. This time he actually told everybody the dream and nobody could answer it but Daniel again. And in verse 19 of Daniel 4, it says, then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for a time. This was after hearing the dream. And his thoughts troubled him. So the king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, may the dream concern those who hate you and its interpretation concern your enemies. Now this is Daniel talking. The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heavens, which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely and its fruit abundant, which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and in whose branches the birds of the heaven had their home. It is you, O king. You have grown and become strong, for your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your domination to the end of the earth. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with dew of heaven, and let him gaze with graze with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. Some of you remember this story? Some of you, maybe it's new to you. Yeah. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. They shall drive you from among men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you, till you know, listen to this part, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. Let me read that again. Till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. That's important too, because sometimes we think we vote and we get to make the choice. I think we should vote. We should participate. But I want you to know God hasn't removed himself completely from everything. Inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins and being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he was walking about his royal palace of Babylon. And the king spoke, saying, is this not Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling, for my mighty power, and for the honor of my majesty? And while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like an oxen, and seven times shall pass over you. Now listen again, here it is, that same phrase. Until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like an oxen. His body was wet with dew of heaven, and his hair had grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird claws. And at the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time, my reason returned to me, and the glory of my kingdom and my honor and splendor returned to me, and my counselors and nobles resorted to me, and I was restored to my kingdom, and the excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth, and his ways are justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down. Isn't that an amazing piece of scripture? And think about what happened to this guy. I mean, he literally was out as a maniac in the field for 7 years. And somehow he gets brought back. I can't even quite fathom that. In our day where politics, you can have one mistake and you're done. You're history. You're toast. You're never coming back. This guy was a wackadoodle for 7 years. And when he came to himself, all the people came back to him and said, come on back, be king. Tell us what to do. Wow. Now this Nebuchadnezzar, by the way, was the Nebuchadnezzar who conquered Daniel's homeland. So this was the guy who brought Daniel to a land that he didn't want to be in from a land he wanted to be in. This Nebuchadnezzar was that guy. He destroyed the temple of the God whom Daniel served. This is the Nebuchadnezzar who set up an image of himself and threw three of Daniel's buddies into a furnace of fire. Same guy, when they wouldn't worship. And on a real personal level for Daniel, you might have to look this up, but on a real personal level for Daniel, this is the guy that made Daniel into a eunuch. You can look it up if you don't know what that means. Yet Daniel served him, and Daniel was even distraught when Daniel understood the meaning of the dream. He could have said, it serves you right. You're going to get what you deserve finally. But he didn't. He even tried to advise him how to maybe not have it happen, or at least not right away. Daniel cared so much about this king that he didn't want anything bad to happen to him. That's amazing. Verse 37, the last verse that we read again says, and those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. And I don't want to be the one who God puts down. It's probably better for me that somebody else puts me down than God puts me down. I may think that's probably true. Yeah, come on. Now we have a kind of a colloquialism, a thing that we say. We used to use this terminology anyway when I was a younger guy. Putting someone down. Oh man, I was at the cafeteria and this guy was putting me down. The idea was somebody was being dishonoring. Someone was being rude. Have you, don't raise your hands, rhetorical questions. Have you ever put someone down? Probably so. It was kind of a game when we were in high school, by the way. You know, cut someone down, put someone down. Used to be a lot of it going on in the gymnasium where we'd get out of class, we'd go sit in the gym, and then they would dismiss us by groups to go into the cafeteria, you know, and we would sit in the gym. There'd be a lot of heckling and silly stuff going on. And some of it was fine. Every once in a while, somebody would get a little too mean. Then somebody would be mad. And a fight would break out. Man, those girl fights were awful. Anyway. Yeah, it usually wasn't the girls. It's not our job to put anyone down, but it is our job to lift people up, isn't it? Now, I'm not going to tell you can't have a little bit of a joking thing going on sometimes. You do have to be careful with it because, you know, people need to know you're having fun, and they need to be having fun while you're having fun. It's one thing to have fun with people. It's another thing to have fun at other people's expense to the point where now it's no more fun. But if anyone needs put down, how many think the Lord can probably take care of that? And do you think maybe it's a good idea to let him? Yeah. That's a really good idea right there. You know, I could say something right now. This might be a thing you can use later today. You know, when you're with someone who was in the room here and they say something, and you could look at them and you could say, I could say something right now, but I'm just going to let God take care of it. Passive aggressive, yeah. So I just want to encourage all you peculiar people. I want to encourage you. Nebuchadnezzar witnessed up close and personal the power of God, and he came to understand better than any of us probably ever will how large and in charge God is. And he understood honor, I think, in a way that he hadn't before that. How about us? Are we going to be people who understand honor? Are we going to be people who move toward honor? Are we going to be people who want to exemplify honor? Maybe we could even do more than we think we can. Some of you have a voice that's bigger than you think. And maybe if you showed honor in your life, in your workplace, in your home, on your Facebook posts. I actually had a Facebook post that I started to put up, and I clicked and posted it. And it was earlier this week, or last week now. This is the new day. The new week started. And I posted it, and then I went, nope, not honoring. Boy, it was funny, though. But it wasn't honoring. And I like, click, took it right off. Yeah. We can create a culture of honor. And honestly, in the culture that we have around us, your honor will actually stand out and be more obvious than it could ever have been otherwise. I encourage you, be that person who thinks, how can I honor in this situation? If you don't know how, it might be better not to do anything. But the truth of the matter is, there is a way to be honoring with every person in every situation in a way that doesn't make the situation worse, but actually makes it better. Yeah. And based on the divided nature of this most recent election, I think a whole lot of people need us to be who God called us to be. So, be the one God called you to be. Be the one who honors. Amen.